I'd like to welcome everyone to the second episode of Behind the Breakthroughs, How Almac Powers Clinical Trial Success with Care. I'm your host, Chris Warren. For those of you joining us for the first time, let me make a pitch to go back and listen to the first episode of the series. In it, we laid out the landscape around drug development and innovation. In particular, we dug into what it means that so much innovation with real-world benefits for patients is being done by emerging biopharmaceutical companies rather than traditional large-scale players. One of the effects? Many smaller startup firms with little experience and few in-house resources are having to navigate a complex clinical trial process, a process that companies are understandably eager to move through quickly for financing and ROI reasons, but also to deliver benefits to patients as fast as possible. We also heard from experts at Almac Clinical Services about the importance of developing study requirements that set out the roles, responsibilities, and communications necessary to shepherd a clinical trial efficiently from start to finish. Think about the study requirements as playing the role of the blueprint for a house. Our first episode set us up nicely to delve into the project management demands that kick in once the study requirements are complete. For our show today, Planning for Success, Embracing Strategic Solutions to Boost Flexibility, Reduce Waste, and Empower Patient-Centric Clinical Trials, we're joined by Austin Allard and Joshua Chud. Austin is a project group manager, and Joshua is a clinical supply manager at Almac Clinical Services. We're going to hear a lot about what their jobs entail and the expertise they bring to it. But for each clinical trial, Austin and Joshua have a simple goal: to exceed the expectations of customers and help bring trials in on time and on budget. So we have a lot to cover today, so we're going to jump right in. Thanks for joining us today, Austin and Joshua. So Joshua, I'm going to start with you. One of the takeaways from our first episode is that you can't execute a clinical trial efficiently and on time without putting together thorough study requirements that lay out robust communications and clear decision-making among the many stakeholders involved. Can you take a minute and explain why project management is also important to clinical trial success?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, one of the nice things that most, if not all of our customers we work with really understand the value that good project management and planning brings to a clinical trial in making sure that it hits its primary endpoints that you previously had mentioned, whether it be kind of on time or on budget. But then one major factor that I definitely don't want to lose sight of is just how important proper planning is to being able to get the clinical trial drugs to patients. At the end of the day, we're really working to make sure that patients receive their drugs on time so that the data collected from the clinical trial has the chance to potentially help countless other people in the future. And in order for a trial to get good data, in order for it to be collected properly, patients need to be able to adhere to their dosing schedules. And then there's nothing worse from our perspective that if we have a stockout on site, that could potentially be patient impacting. And then this has a negative effect on the study design, but also the patient themselves. So from bulk drug manufacturing all the way through labeling packaged drug to shipping around the world, there are countless steps in the process that require a watchful eye that we make sure that everything's flowing properly, that I'm sure we'll really kind of discuss further on. But at the end of the day, we're here to support from initial quoting through the supply planning all the way to make sure that the sites are stocked for patient dosing.
Great. Well, I think that's a great point and really centers our conversation. Because, you know, ultimately it's all about keeping the patient at the center of everything in a clinical trial. And we are going to dive into some of those details from a project management perspective. But I want to talk about some of the challenges first around project management, particularly related to these emerging biopharmaceutical companies. Austin, can you lay out sort of what uniquely is challenging for emerging biopharma companies when it comes to clinical trial project management?
Hi, Chris. Yes, happy to. Largely, it centers around, I suppose, resource and experience for those emerging biopharmaceutical companies. We work with companies of all sizes. There are large pharmaceutical companies, which we know have mature processes and standard operating procedures and ways of working, which have been sort of honed over years. quite often they'll have experienced personnel supporting those trials. Therefore, they will maybe have their own teams of project managers working to define processes to move clinical trials forward to meet their timelines and dates. But some of our smaller emerging companies have teams of just a few people, all of them or most of them undertaking multiple job roles, which can obviously impact upon their efficiency and ability to deliver. And not to mention, of course, that some may also not necessarily have garnered the same amount as experience that may be seen in maybe other more experienced larger companies. Their size, whilst not by any means preventing them from making an outsized impact in the drug innovation, it's actually can be very challenging for these smaller companies with the varying and complex regulatory requirements and disparate timelines that are often involved with those different requirements, particularly depending on where the drugs need to be shipped. Examples being the US and the EU, their requirements are reasonably aligned. However, if we're conducting trials in rest of world locations, there can be quite a different topography in the level of requirements, and that sort of difference, which varies significantly from country to country, and those requirements can often change continuously. I suppose an anecdotal example will be maybe shipping to countries in South Africa, Nigeria, for instance, an import license is required on a per shipment basis, while for the Republic of South Africa, an import license is valid for the study duration. Almac has worked across the world and continues to do so and can bring their expertise to help our clients understand and navigate these requirements and obviously to adjust as and when they can and do change. But experience and knowledge can help our customers, particularly the smaller ones or those that have less experience, to avoid long delays which may threaten project timelines. And that's either at startup or project maintenance of a project. The demands of regulatory bodies, there also can be based on the IMP substance. Is it a biologic? Is it small molecule, chemical substance, or is the material derivative of human tissue, animal blood, or is it even a live virus? So there's a whole contributing number of factors which have to be taken into consideration, particularly with the logistics element. And as such, from a project management standpoint, there are significant implications that can obviously impact the ability to get different drugs into different countries. You may be sending two different materials to the same country. However, one material may be small molecule that has few restrictions and it is relatively straightforward to get into the country. Another may be a derivative of animal blood or, as I mentioned, a live virus, which falls under a very different classification. And therefore, there may be additional regulatory concerns that may factor into the logistics of shipping into an alternate country. So knowing these can help avoid delays and obviously ensure that drugs get to patients which are enrolled within the trial. But at the beginning also that it does mean that drug has to be in country to allow and to permit trials to start.
Great. Thanks, Austin. That gives a good sense of the landscape and the many challenges that can pop up. Joshua, you want to add anything?
Obviously, there are a multitude of factors that go into this, and Austin touched on two, quite a bit of them. But yeah, just to expand upon one of the specific items he had mentioned between the EU and the US. So the EU in particular set up a framework where every labeled lot needs to be reviewed by a QP, which is a qualified person. And then that QP signs off on that lot to say that it's safe. And this can be kind of a lengthy process. But then the US doesn't have the same requirement. So when you're accounting for the entire process flow between the EU and the US, that's one thing that you're going to have to take into account. Label text requirements can vary by country where the drug is produced, packaged, and labeled. And even the location from where the drug ships to site all can play a role into our ability to successfully release supplies for patients. With so many different requirements, and they can change, I might add, based on the country's adoption of different regulations as time progresses, it definitely can be very challenging for, say, a small bio company to manage all of this. So that's kind of where we're able to come in and help out.
In our last episode, we talked about the importance of study requirements, and I mentioned it again in the introduction as being like the blueprint for a house. So that really stuck with me. There's a handoff in a clinical trial where it goes to project management. And I am wondering how closely those study requirements are followed once the project has shifted into your hands. Austin, can you take a crack at this one?
By all means, there are regulatory requirements which we have to stick to because they're from a regulatory perspective. However, from a protocol or a study requirement, that can and does change. Of course, there are studies that follow closely and don't change much, either due to the nature of the protocol or maybe the phase of the study and trial that is being conducted. However, I like to think of studies sort of having a framework, but they have the flexibility to evolve as the study progresses. Examples of this may be the addition of new countries, or if in fact a new additional drug comparator may be introduced at a later point in time. There are other elements where we have to consider the customer. Is it a new customer? Do they have that experience that perhaps maybe our existing larger customers may have? As I've alluded to, large customers have project teams in place. They have their own clinical teams. They have regulatory. So from that perspective, they are perhaps more fixed in what they're looking to achieve and how they're looking to achieve it. But we ourselves are here to sort of support their customer study requirements and can also provide guidance as to what it is the customer is looking to achieve with their protocol or study, and what is perhaps required to meet those expectations or milestones. The level of detail the client's clinical team can put into the study is also a factor of how closely it is followed. As I mentioned, large companies we work with have very experienced staff and processes that inform their study requirements and define precise protocols. Those with either less experience or new to the industry may need to be more fluid about following the study requirements. It can evolve over either a short or a quick period of time. And therefore, with that, we have to be fluid and agile and work with the customer to be able to meet those new and ever-changing or evolving study requirements.
Austin, let me follow up quickly. What's the role of business development in getting these detailed quotes and, you know, leading some of the other steps that really result in efficient clinical trial?
I suppose at a big picture level, business development, they obviously generate the detailed quotes that outline the service requirements and obviously the associated costs with those. But it also begins critical information gathering to set the foundation for the project. This can include defining responsibilities for the customer and for ALMAC, who may be procuring comparator or commercial drug, labeling, storage, what are the distribution requirements, which countries are participating, how many shipments are we going to need to complete the study. And of course, part of the mantra is on time and on budget, but if that information isn't correct up front, then obviously there can be a variance between either the timeline or the cost associated. So it's really critical that we understand what is required at that point in time. And obviously, as we've mentioned previously, that studies can change and new countries can be added, new commercial drug can be added. And therefore, as a result, obviously there are changes, and obviously those changes then need to be documented. And potentially that ensures that we then meet again those customer requirements while still hopefully maintaining cost and timelines. We've now introduced a project service liaison at ALMAC, who tends to work with our new customers. And that's really to sort of help onboard them and to make them aware of ALMAC's processes and how we work. And obviously, whilst the customer expects us to deliver for them, it is a two-way partnership. And therefore, there are times when we need detail and input from the customer to ensure that we mutually deliver the timelines that have been requested. So our project service liaison sort of introduces those concepts with our customers to hopefully get us and the new customer aligned, and therefore it sets the proper expectations for both parties. The quote is developed by the project service liaison and the business development manager. Often a questionnaire would be given to the customer that allows them to articulate and answer many of the questions that we have sort of discussed over the course of this podcast. There are questions, obviously, that are essential as to where the trial will be taking place. Is it blinded? Is it open? We need to understand if the IMP, investigative material product, is it frozen? Is it refrigerated? Is the product a controlled substance? Is there a defined distribution plan? There are more detailed answers to some of those questions, and perhaps more detailed than they can be identified at the initial quote stage. So some quotes are generated at a higher level, and we define those with the customer as we make progress. Other times it can be detailed from the start, and we know exactly what we're looking to achieve at that point in time.
Thanks, Austin. Joshua, let's bring you back in. Can you talk about the role of a clinical supply manager in project management and whether it's important to get them involved early?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, the clinical supply managers play a vital role in the overall trial. We have the tools, the knowledge when it comes to kit design, production planning, and the logistics that go into distributing drug globally. We also have the experience when it comes to IRTs and how to properly work within them, which is a foundational piece of any modern day clinical trial. Having a clinical supply manager involved once really the quote framework has been established is really best practice in my eyes. While Austin's previously mentioned that trials can be flexible, the systems that you set up from the start can be rather robust, which is like the IRTs, which may not be as flexible as the trial. So essentially getting the CSM to help guide the early conversations to make sure that everything is set up properly from the start is definitely the best course of action. And the CSM's ability to really think from the end-to-end process, the end-to-end supply flow, allows us really to pinpoint any potential future bottlenecks that we can kind of work to solve ahead of time before anything's really set in stone. This thought process sets you up to have the best, really most successful clinical trial in my eyes.
Well, that is all the time that we have today. And I want to thank Austin and Joshua for really helping us understand the role of project management in a successful clinical trial, which is obviously instrumental now that we've gone through all of these details and challenges and all the problems that potentially need to be solved and navigated. So thank you so much, Austin and Joshua, for taking us through that. So we have one more episode in the series, and in our final episode, we're going to learn more about some case studies and scenarios where all the things we've discussed in the first two episodes come together in a real world setting. And so be able to illustrate just what a clinical trial looks like with some real examples. So I hope you'll join us for that finale. And until then, take care and thanks for joining us.